Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of John, John chapter number 4, and also Luke chapter number 2, John chapter number 4, and Luke chapter number 2 today. The title of this morning's message is The Greatest Gift, and actually the Lord kind of laid on my heart a few weeks ago. About this is why I thought he wanted me to preach on Sunday morning. I was trying to figure out what I was going to preach on Sunday night, but as I kept on looking at this and looking at the reason why Jesus Christ was the greatest gift, there's so many different reasons that this is going to be a part one, and tonight about 6 o'clock, we're going to be looking at part two in this. There's a lot of different interesting things that makes Jesus Christ the greatest gift. I want you to think about it for a little while. I know Christmas time is not all about the gifts. I mean, as you just heard in the song, when we were a kid, we were only excited about getting all the toys and the gifts. But, you know, we know Christmas is about the one and the greatest gift, which was Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at it a little bit today. And you say, well, Pastor, you're making it all about giving. Well, the Bible talks about the gift of God over and over in Scripture. You think about it, in Romans 6:23, it talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, talks about how we're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And even the most famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's about giving. And I know Christmas time, even though it is centered around Christ, we want to keep a Christ focus. But many of us enjoy giving gifts, and many of us enjoy receiving gifts during this time of year. And today I just like to look at for a little while about this greatest gift. It's an amazing gift. Jesus Christ is amazing, and what he did for us is amazing. And I like to look at some of these things, and I hopefully as we get done this morning and tonight, we're overwhelmed by how good God has been to us. And just like the Apostle Paul put it, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And even though I tried to describe this morning the greatest gift, and even continue to try to describe it tonight as the greatest gift, I think you're going to enjoy some of the things that you hear and you get into as something that we're supposed to share with others. And so we try to keep it fairly simple so we can take it with us, especially this morning, and familiar verses you can take with you as you go to celebrate Christmas and say, you know what, this is the greatest gift, and this is the reasons why. Now, when I said open up to John chapter 4, probably some of you are thinking, hey, preacher, you got the wrong passage of Scripture. It's supposed to be Luke 2. It's supposed to be Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 1, John chapter 1. But John chapter 4, did you say the right thing? And I did. John chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 10. We're just going to try to introduce a thought here. And I'm praying and hope and maybe get this into your head, into your mind. Jesus here is speaking to the Samaritan woman. Now, the Samaritan woman was a what many people would consider a very immoral woman. And she's living with a man outside of wedlock. She's already been married multiple times. This is a woman that was probably an outcast in even her society of Samaria. And the Jews did not spend time with the Samaritans. They actually did not like one another. But Jesus comes and he says in this passage of Scripture that he must needs go through Samaria. He had a divine appointment with this woman she didn't even know about. And he began to ask her for a drink, and she asked him questions. Why are you even talking to me? You're a Jew. And Jesus says in verse number 10, I find it interesting. I like to start here. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, this is not the sermon today, so I'm not going to spend the time explaining what the living water is and all those different things. But the truth of the matter is Jesus is here. He is here to meet this woman, and he tells her, if you would know the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you understood what the gift of God was, you would be asking for it. So this morning, I'd like to spend a little bit of time looking at that gift of God, the greatest gift. And as we think about this, what makes Jesus the greatest gift? And we're going to look at some different things that makes him the greatest gift. And as I said, tonight we're going to continue on in some of those things. Some reasons why I think Jesus is the greatest gift. First of all, because who gave the gift? I don't know about you, but in your life, let's see, doesn't want to work. Usually only does that on Wednesday nights. There's something. See, because who gave the gift? There you go. Because of who gave the gift. Yeah, I agree. We should all be thankful for the gifts we get. I mean, isn't that true? We think about Christmas time. It doesn't matter who gives you the gift. Pastor, you're teaching us to pick and choose. But I'm talking about, doesn't getting gifts from certain people make it more special? I don't know about you, but I've seen some ugly gifts that kids have given their moms and they treasure it. I go to somebody's house and you see this thing on the Christmas tree and there's this ornament that they made back in Sunday school class back 20 years ago that's still hanging there. And it really doesn't, to most people, that'd be like, why is that thing up there? It's because of who gave it to them. That the fact that it came from their child or maybe came from your mate or maybe from a close special friend, it made him special. I want you to understand, Jesus was the greatest gift. Eternal life that's being offered was because Jesus Christ had came. And I want you to understand, it is the greatest gift because think about who gave it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above. It's God that gave us this gift. And I think sometimes we forget that and overlook this, but this is the God of the universe. This is the God that says that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. It's talked about in Isaiah chapter 43. It says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 44 verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. This is Creator God who says, hey, look, I have a gift for you. Jesus is speaking to this woman at the well and saying, hey, if you knew the gift of God, you would be asking for that gift. And I want us to understand, when we talk to people and we try to express this gift that needs to be shared and delivered to other people, they need to understand it came from God, the God of the universe. It was not some made up fairy tale, but the one who created the heaven and the earth says, I have a gift that I am offering to you. Second thing I think about, it's not just because of who gave it, but because why the gift was given. Nope, it's not going to do it, is it? There it is. Okay, I think we got it now. Because why the gift was given. Sometimes people give gifts because they feel like they're obligated. You ever been there? I know when I was in, I think it was fourth or fifth grade, I told this story at the Christmas banquet. There was this girl, she's a lady now. She was mean back then. She's probably mean today too. But back in the fourth or fifth grade, you had those, you pick names for people and you're supposed to give a gift, right? And you're only supposed to give a few dollar gift back in the fourth or fifth grade. And you know, I was back in school a long time ago, so it was probably only a dollar or two. And she got me this gift of coal for Christmas. And she says, you haven't been good this year, so this is all you deserve. And the only reason why she bought a gift for me was because of the fact that she had drew my name, which I thought was kind of mean. She gave it to me because she was obligated. You know, what makes it special is who gives us the gift, but also the reason behind the gift. The purpose, why the gift was given, and why was the gift of Christ given to us? Yes, it's because we had a need. Yes, it was because of the fact that we are lost and without Christ. But why was this gift given to us? It's because God loves us. And don't miss the fact, remember, this is the Creator of the universe. This is not someone who needs friends. This is the Creator God. He is worshipped every minute of every day up in heaven. But he has demonstrated the reason why this is the greatest gift was because of the fact he loved us. Think about what it says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, he died for us. But he says that word commendeth means that it proved, he demonstrated. He didn't just say, hey, I'm giving you this gift because I loved you. He showed it, he demonstrated it with what he gave. What made Jesus the greatest gift was the fact it was given from God. Secondly, because of the fact that it was done out of love. And I think that's what we enjoy when we appreciate when someone gives us a gift. The appreciation of the person that took time and effort and energy to give us something, but not out of obligation, not because of the fact they gave us something, it's because they care for us. And I think that's something, it's Christmas time, that can be opened up and we can share with people. You know what? He gave us this gift not because he had to, not because he made a mistake in the garden, not because he allowed him to sin. He gave us this gift because he loves us. I want us to understand that and take that with us. You know, he's telling this woman who at the well, who had probably been an outcast, the women didn't really want to talk to her. You see, when she runs into town, tell them about the Messiah, she doesn't go tell the ladies, she tells all the men, because the ladies probably wouldn't talk to her. And he says to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew that God gave you a gift and that God loves you, and that's the reason why he's giving you this gift, you would be asking for this gift because of the fact it came from God. And it's not because he felt obligated to kind of appease you. He gave this gift out of a love for you. The third thing is, not only is it because of the fact that who gave it and why it was given, but because of the sacrifice that was made. The sacrifice that was made to make the gift happen. I know we're not supposed to look at things and say, okay, this thing costs this much money, and because that makes it the greatest gift. We know that's not true. But when we see someone sacrifice maybe their time or their energy or their resources, I know that many people appreciate handmade things because the time and sacrifice that was put into it. And Jesus is speaking to this woman, and he says, if you knew the gift of God, if you understood the gift of God, if you realized the fact that God, the creator of the universe, the one who you worship, loves you, and because of the fact he sent his son down on the cross to die for you, there was a great sacrifice that was made. Think about what these verses says. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Picture that. God, God's son. And we know that Jesus is also God because of the Trinity. We understand that. That's a whole other discussion. It says that he was with God. He was God. But it talks about how he spared not his own son and delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I have two boys. I wouldn't give them up for anything in the world. Unless God had asked for something, unless God told him that this is what I desire. But you know what? Those two sons are precious to me. It's sacrificial for me to give them up. That's what God is saying here in his word. He says, look, if he was willing to give up his own son, how much more would he be willing to freely give us all things? Think about the sacrifice that was made and when just for Jesus to come to this world, not just for God to give his son, but Jesus to come in this world. He was in the world and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. There was a great sacrifice for him to leave heaven. And you think about it, to leave heaven, to come to this sin-sick world where not that he was going to be celebrated on a regular basis, but instead where he was going to be spat upon and jeered at and put on an old rugged cross and to be killed for the sins of mankind. You think about the sacrifice that was made in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. We looked at it a few weeks ago, that he by the grace of God tasted death for every man. And if we just spend some time thinking about all the things he went through, all the things he gave up, and all the things he experienced, and all the things he was put through for us, it humbles us. And we say, you know what? That was the greatest gift because of what he paid for it. And I'm not saying today that it matters monetary. That's ridiculous. It goes against everything we think. But when we consider the sacrifice that was given of himself for us, it makes it the greatest gift. Think about the next thing. Not only was it because who gave the gift, and because of it was done out of love, and because of the sacrifice, but because it was a gift offered to everyone. I like that. I don't know about you, but that helps me, because I know that sometimes I don't always like certain people. I know there's people that don't like me, but I know that always there's not a gift that I would offer to everyone. But you know what? Salvation and Jesus Christ, the greatest gift, was offered to everyone. For God so loved the world. Isn't that great? It's the world. It says, and he is the propitiation of ours for our sins, and not for ours only. Look what it says. But for the sins of the whole world. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 2:9, once again, he by the grace of God, he tasted death. That was the sacrifice. But who did he do it for? For every man. No individual, no soul will ever go to hell and say, I wanted to be saved, but Jesus did not die for me. It just won't happen. I know some people teach a theology that he only died for certain individuals, but the Bible says that he takes a death for every man. It says not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's the greatest gift because it's available for everyone. Next thing I want you to think about is not only is the greatest gift because it's available to everyone, and that's what he's saying to this woman. This woman here was sitting there saying, what are you talking about? You know, what gift are you talking about? And she didn't understand it. I think if the world understood the gift, that it came from God and it came because he loved us and because he was willing to pay the sacrifice for our sins and because of the fact that he is offering it to any and everyone that will come and any and everyone who will believe and put their faith and trust in it. And you say, well, why in the world did he do such a great deed? It's because the gift was needed. Did you ever get a gift that you really didn't need? I know I've gotten a few gifts in my life that I thought, what am I going to do with that? And I remember one of the first times after my wife and I had been married, my in-laws gives me gifts. And when they would give me a gift, they would give me socks and undershirts. And the first year I got that, I was thinking, now that's kind of a weird gift. And then, but you know what? Every year after that, I appreciate it. I say, you know what? That's a gift I need. You always need socks and you always need undershirts. There are things that you need. And this is not a gift that someone does not need. This is a gift that we need. Everyone needs this gift. It comes from God and it's because he loves us. And it's the greatest gift because of the sacrifice that was paid. It's the greatest gift because of the fact it's offered to everyone. Anyone can come and it's because it was needed. Romans 3:12 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. That verse we mentioned earlier, for the wages of sin is death. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin gives us a spiritual death, the second death. The Bible speaks of if we do not know Christ, if our name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will be cast into the lake of fire, a place called hell for all of eternity. But the gift of God, and here it comes, he says, this is why you need this gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like this woman is sitting there and Jesus said, yes, I asked you for a drink, but if you knew the gift of God, if you understood the gift of God, if you would comprehend that there was a gift that is there and ready for you and available to you from God who loves you and sacrificed to give it to you and offers it to everyone. And the most important thing is you need this gift. Without it, the wages of sin is death. Next thing, and I kind of like this one. It's the reason why it's the greatest gift is because it's a unspeakable gift. It means it can't be described. It is so good and so valuable and so precious, and as you consider it, so overwhelming, all you can do is thank God for it. And I think that's what Paul was getting at in 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When he considers this, he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This gift is so amazing. I don't have words to describe it. You ever gotten something like that? Now, obviously, it doesn't happen every year. Maybe it happens once in a life or twice in a lifetime or three times. I don't know. But you receive something, and maybe God worked in somebody's heart and God worked in somebody's life to provide a need for you that you never expected. That's happened a few times in my life. It's happened even one time here recently. God had done something that was so, it just was unimaginable. And there was just words that could not describe it. When we consider the gift of God and that it came from the Creator God, it was based out of love for us and the sacrifice we see that he paid. And the gift was not just offered for those he liked. It was offered to everyone because they all had a need. It made it an unspeakable gift. Is that the way we celebrate Christmas? I want you to consider three facts about gift giving. Three facts about gift giving. And I think you can see it all, how it all ties in together. And I think it will help you and help us understand how we're this greatest gift and the reason for the greatest gift. First thing, a true gift does not cost the receiver anything. A true gift does not cost the receiver anything. You know, if I went up to Miss Karen and said, "Miss Karen, I'm going to give you this as a gift. You only owe me $100 for it." She says, even though it's worth probably more than $100, it's not a gift, is it? It's a purchase. You did something to buy it. This greatest gift that was given doesn't cost us anything. Cost Jesus a whole lot, but it doesn't cost us anything. Remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Many religions today will teach you and tell you, you must do this and you must earn your way to heaven. The difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world, Christianity says the work has already been done by Jesus Christ. Every other religion in the world says you got to do something in order to earn it. A true gift does not cost the receiver anything. Next thing I want you to think about, a true gift cannot be taken back. Once again, I say I just give this to Miss Karen, which I'm not going to because she wouldn't want it anyway. I'm going to say if I gave that to her and then tomorrow I turned around and say, "Hey, I want this back." That's not a gift, is it? You know, back when I was a kid, they would call that person an Indian giver. You know, you take back something you gave her. That wasn't really a gift. That was something you loaned her. That wasn't a gift. And when you think about it, when it comes to the gift of God, and, you know, I even thought about this and pondered this for a little while, and I didn't really want to get into it too much. You know, what was the gift of God? He says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Is the gift of God, is Jesus Christ the gift, or is eternal life the gift? You know, I think it's Jesus, because what Jesus has done, he is able to offer the gift of eternal life and the gift of God. And here he's saying this gift is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I know some people have, I think, are mixed up in their doctrines, just like the people who think that salvation is only, this gift is only offered to some. I think some people are mixed up in their doctrines and they think that they can lose their salvation. I don't think the Bible teaches that. Because if it is a gift of God, and if it is the gift in this woman that Jesus is telling to her, he didn't say to her and say, you know, if you understood the gift of God and then you kept on doing this, this, and this, then you can have the gift. That's not how the gift works. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And eternal life, everlasting life, it's a present possession you can have. Once you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot lose that, and you cannot have it take. God is not going to take that away. Third thing I want you to think about is, to enjoy the gift, you must first receive it. To enjoy the gift, you must first receive it. You know, if we said that there's a gift back there on the, whatever you want, the missionary board back there for you, and you said, "Wonderful, great." You took it home. You left it sitting there and you admired it. And you looked at it. And you looked at it. And you looked at it. But you never opened it up. You're never going to really be able to enjoy that gift, the benefits of that gift. I have a present for Andrew at home somewhere from his aunt. I forgot where I put it at. I told Christian to look for it this morning. Andrew said, "What are you guys talking about?" I said, "Something for you for Christmas." And he's like, "What?" I said, "I ain't going to tell you. We still haven't found it yet." There is a present that was bought by his aunt for him, and it's somewhere. He's not going to receive the benefit of it until he actually takes and opens it up. He might never ever have that chance. So here's the thing. If we're going to receive if you're going to enjoy the benefit of the greatest gift, you must receive it. You've got to do it God's way. A lot of people think, hey, if I work all this, do all this work, and I get, then I deserve the gift. The heavens are made of the streets of gold, and it's such a pure gold. It's like, I believe it's even like a transparent gold. It's so amazing that you could work your every minute, every single day. You're not going to earn it. The Bible calls that even our righteousness is as filthy rags and workers of iniquity when it's done in our own flesh and by our own self. Those things don't impress God. This is what he says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This greatest gift is received by those that will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for their sins. Have you ever done that? I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm not asking you if you have do a lot of great things. I'm not asking you if you're a religious person. I'm asking you, have you ever received the gift of God? You know, there's a lot more things. As I said, we're going to look at some of these things tonight. A lot more things we can talk about making it, reason why it's so great. But it's not going to mean that much to you until you receive it. Have you ever confessed with your mouth? Have you ever believed in your heart that Christ died, was buried, and rose again for your salvation? Saw yourself as a sinner, saw the fact that you had a need, and realized you were separated from God, and you believed unto righteousness. Have you ever done that? You can do that today and accept the greatest gift. Also, let's go ahead and take our Bibles real quick back to Luke chapter number 2. You know you can't have a Christmas Eve message without going to Luke 2, at least for a second. And Luke chapter number 2, this is the last point. It's something we're going to mention also again tonight. This is a gift that it should be shared. If it's the greatest gift in all the world, greatest gift of all time, then it's a gift that should be shared. Let's go ahead and start in verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, and to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they shared the experience. No, they shared the child. They shared the gift. And it's not about the wrapping. It's not about the angels. It's about the greatest gift, which was Jesus Christ. And all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So I want you to think about it. Go back to that woman in the well, and it tells, if you go along and keep on reading the story, she's amazed, and she says, well, I know Messiah was going to come. And Jesus says to him, he that speaketh to thee is he, or it's not the exact words, but he says, the one who's talking to you is that Messiah that you're looking for. It says that she took off and she began to tell everybody. It was a gift that was supposed to be shared. The shepherds, they hear the angels report. They go and they find the babe. They see the truth of it. And it's something they wanted to share with everybody. And it says here that in next verse, and I think it's in verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's a gift that should be cherished. It's a gift that we should ponder and think about it. Because when we remember it's the Creator God that left this world and that he did it because he loved us, and we see the tremendous price that he paid for us and the sacrifice that was given, but then he offers it to everyone. And then he says, you have a need and you need this gift. It is that unspeakable gift. It's something that we can't explain, but we trust the Holy Spirit of God through us as we are faithful to tell others to explain that to them. This morning, I know that most people in this room would say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. I have accepted that gift. I have received that gift. I have taken advantage of the gift that Christ offers us. But are you sharing that gift? It's not meant to keep to yourself. Sometimes people give us things for Christmas. And sometimes they give us maybe a plate of cookies. And that plate of cookies is meant to be shared to all four of us. There's someone in our church that we give cookies to sometimes, and we ask, did you share it with your family? And they say, no, of course not. It was for me. That wasn't shared. And that gift there wasn't shared. And I want you to understand something today. The gift of God is meant to be shared. What a great time of year. You know, that gift is great. But think about the greatest gift. And what makes Jesus the greatest gift? It's because it came from God. It's because it was not done out of obligation. It was done of love. And because the great sacrifice that was paid, but it was given to every person you see tomorrow needs this gift if they have not received it already. It's an unspeakable gift. That's why we come to worship. That's why the angels, you know, the one came and a multitude of angels came. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight. I think you're going to enjoy tonight's message when we consider more things, what makes it the greatest gift. I wanted to keep this morning's pretty simple so you can take this with you. Verses you're familiar with that you can say, this is why it's the greatest gift to the people that you know and love. Let's go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes real quick.